Good morning. How's everybody this morning? All right, well, let's go ahead and get started. I'm so glad you're here because this tells me something about you. You all can follow directions. You all set your clocks forward. Okay? So I know this time is painful because we lost an hour of sleep. So if you need to catch up, do it during the music part of our service this morning. Just kidding. I know with our worship team, you're not going to go to sleep. So that'll be fine. If you want to sleep during the sermon, that's between you and God, okay? All right. Well, if you got a bulletin, take it out and let's take a look at what's going on. Right after our worship service this morning, we are having church family dinner. It's baked potato bar. I hope that you can plan to stay with us. I hope that everybody brought enough food for us to be able to enjoy. I think that that's probably not going to be an issue. Usually never is. Hey, also today, Christine is ready to take pictures. They were gone last week, but she's here this week somewhere. And so if you need to have your picture taken for the new updated pictorial directory, please see Christine today. If you have changed any of your information, your contact information, phone number, address, email address, please make sure that we have that correct information, and you can do that with Christine this morning as well. Coming tomorrow at 7 p.m., we have ladies' Bible study here at the church. Tuesday night, men's Bible study here at the church. Wednesday is joy Bible study here at the church. Any one of these Bible studies are open to anybody who would like to come and join us for those particular Bible studies. Thursday night is Awana. And it's Go Fish, and the kids are going to have a great time. By the way, I don't know if you know, because we don't usually talk a lot about it, but in the middle of the bulletin board, just as you go outside the sanctuary doors, the middle part is our missions, and a lot of our missionaries and agencies that we support have sent prayer letters and information about what's going on in their various missions. And I don't know if you've ever stopped by to take and read some of those, but all of them have been updated. All of those are as current information as we have. So if you want to know what our missionaries are doing or our mission agencies are doing, stop by there and go ahead and read that. Lots more information in the bulletin, so that's why it's important for everyone to make sure that you have one. If you don't have one, please make sure that you get one on the way out. First thing this morning, I received a phone call from Amy Henning, and Paul went home this morning. He went home to be with Jesus. In some ways, we're glad for that. In other ways, we're going to miss a good friend. And so I'm just going to ask you that you pray for us as a church family, pray for the Henning family. Amy's doing remarkably well. I was able to spend some time with Paul yesterday, and I made him smile. Amy said that was the first time he'd smiled in quite a long time. But I'm going to miss him, and I know you are too. So let's just be in prayer. Let's pray right now. Father, it's times like these to where it's hard for us to be able to know. Do we live in our sorrow? Do we live in our grief? Or do we rejoice in the fact that Paul is with you? And Father, I'm doing a little bit of both. But Father, I know that he knew you. I know that he knew you as Savior. And Father, I know that he looked forward, especially as his condition continued to worsen. He looked forward to being with you because he knew his glorification was going to be a reality, no longer just a hope. And so, Father, I pray that you will just help us to be comforted by the memories that we have of Paul. Father, that we will be comforted by the friendship that we and the part of being our church family that we were able to enjoy with Paul. And Father, I just pray that at this time, you be with the Henning family. Father, be with Amy. Father, give her the strength that she needs. Father, give her the comfort that she needs. And Father, I pray that for the rest of the family as well. And Father, I pray that for us as a church family as well. But Father, we don't grieve as those who have no hope. We grieve as those who know that Paul is with you. And because we know Jesus as Savior, we know that someday when we're with you, we're going to see Paul again. And what a great reunion that will be. So Father, I just pray that this morning you will just bring us whatever it is that you know that we need as we worship you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I know that Paul is in heaven. Amen. Not because he was a big guy, not because he had a great sense of humor, not because he was a good man, but because he believed in Jesus as Savior. Yeah. And if you're here this morning and you don't believe in Jesus as Savior, don't let another moment pass before, in the quietness of your heart and in the quietness of your mind, say, I believe. I believe that Jesus went to that cross. He died on that cross. He paid the debt of sin that I owed. I believe in him as my Savior, and I receive from him the gift of eternal life. Paul's enjoying that gift right at this very moment. And maybe that'll make a difference also in the way that we worship this morning. Because we don't worship as those who have no hope. We worship because we know that what Jesus has done for us is real. Amen? Let's worship.
Would you all stand with me as we begin this morning? And this first song we're going to sing, it's called This Is Our God. Sometimes you need a little reminder. And Sam, in a previous sermon, talked about the crossing of the Jordan and that 12 stones were taken up and an altar was built. Why? To remember. And we're going to sing about that in verse 2. It says, now those altars in the wilderness tell the story of his faithfulness. Never once did he fail, and he never will. Remember that as we sing this morning.
Those walls that we called sin and shame, they were like prisons that we couldn't escape. But he came and he died and he rose. Those walls are rubble now. Remember those giants we called death and grave. They were like mountains that stood in our way. But he came, and he died, and he rose. Those giants are dead now. This is our God, this is who he is. He loves us. This is our God, this is what he does. He saves us. He bore the cross, beat the grave. Let heaven and earth proclaim, this is our God, King Jesus. Remember that fear that took our breath away. Faith so weak that we could barely pray. But he heard every word, every whisper. Now those altars in the wilderness tell the story of his faithfulness. Never once did he fail, and he never will. Yeah. This is our God, this is who he is. He loves us. This is our God, this is what he does. He saves us. Before the cross, beat the grave. Let heaven and earth proclaim, this is our God, King Jesus. Yeah. Who pulled me out of that pit? He did, he did. Who paid for all of our sin? Nobody but Jesus. Who rescued me from that grave? Yahweh, Yahweh. Who gets the glory and praise? Nobody but Jesus. Who rescued me from that grave? Yahweh, Yahweh, who gets the glory and praise? Nobody but Him. This is our God. This is who He is. He loves us. This is our God. This is what He does. He saves us. He bore the cross, beat the grave. Let heaven and earth proclaim, this is our God, King Jesus. He bore the cross, beat the grave. Let heaven and earth proclaim, this is our God, King Jesus.
Give the Lord a round of applause. Come on, He's worthy of it today. He's worthy. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for going to that cross for us. Thank you for taking and holding and showing us the keys of death and Hades. We have nothing to fear. Lord, we love you. We're so thankful for your promise of eternal life and the hope it brings. It's truly a priceless gift, and you are greater than any other love, any other person, any other thing.
Oh, the priceless gift you are to me, the mountain of my sin you washed away. Oh, the miracle you made of me, the shadow of my night you turned to day, and I'm in awe of how much you love me. I'm so in awe of how much you love me. I can't thank you enough. I can't give you enough for all you've done. You have loved me so much, you're more than enough, and I will live to worship you alone. 'Cause you are greater than any other love. You are greater of the world. You are greater than anyone, and I will live to worship. I will live to worship you alone. Countless are the thoughts you have of me, my first and final days are in your hands. Unthinkable that you would call me friend. The words that you deserve could not exist, and I'm in awe of how much you love me. I'm so in awe of how much you love me. I can't thank you enough. I can't give you enough for all you've done. You have loved me so much. You're more than enough, and I will live to worship you alone. 'Cause you are greater than any other love. You are greater than any riches of the world. You are greater than anyone, and I will live to worship. I will live There's nothing that compares to you. No one can compare to you. There's nothing that compares to you. No one can compare to you. And I can't thank you enough. I can't give you enough for all you've done. You have loved me so much. You're more than enough. And I will live to worship you, Lord. 'Cause you are greater than any other love. You are greater than any riches of the world. You are greater than anyone. And I will live to worship. I will live to worship you.
Go ahead and be seated as we continue this morning.
I will give thanks to thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing praises to thee among the nations, for thy steadfast love is great unto the heavens, and thy faithfulness to the clouds. O God, above the heavens, let thy glory be over all the earth. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be over all the earth.
Let thy glory,
and let thy glory be over all the earth.
When we're going through a hard time and dealing with fear and stress and loss, God knew we needed these songs today. God knew he needed these songs. I will praise him. We're going to sing a song here in a minute called Count Your Blessings. And there's so many things that we can get hung up on, lost in, and forget the truth. So we need to be reminded. So let's praise him.
When I saw the cleansing fountain open wide for all my sin, I obeyed the Spirit's wooing. When he said, wilt thou be clean? I will praise him. I will praise him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Give him glory, all ye people, for blood can wash away each stain. Though the way seems straight and narrow, all I claimed was swept away. My ambitions, plans, and wishes at my feet in ashes lay. I will praise Him. I will praise Him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Give Him glory, all ye people, for His blood can wash away each stain. Then God's fire upon the altar of my heart was set aflame. I shall never cease to praise Him. Glory, glory to His name.
Let's sing the next verse. Glory, glory.
Glory, glory to the Father. Glory, glory to the Son. Him. I will praise Him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Give Him glory, all ye people, for His blood can wash away each stain. Yes, His blood can wash away each stain.
As we take this morning's offering, we're going to sing a song called Jireh. And in this song, the key element is, you, God, are enough. You're enough always. Not just enough, more than enough. And that means He's more than enough for all of our pain and struggles and difficulties and fears and failures. And regret and shame and hardship and tribulation. He is enough for all of it.
I'll never be more loved than I am right now. Wasn't holding you up, so there's nothing I can do to let you down. It doesn't take a trophy to make you proud. I'll never be more loved than I am right now. Going through a storm, but I won't go down. I hear your voice carried in the rhythm of the wind to call me out. You would cross an ocean so I wouldn't drown. You've never been closer than you are right now. Jireh, you are enough. Jireh, you are enough. And I will be content in every circumstance. Jireh, you are enough. Forever enough, always enough, more than enough. Forever enough, always enough, more than enough. I don't want to forget how I feel right now. On the mountaintop, I can see so clear what it's all about. Stay by my side when the sun goes down. Don't want to forget how I feel. Jireh, you are enough. Jireh, you are enough. And I will be content in every circumstance. Jireh, you are enough. Forever enough, always enough, more than enough. Forever enough, always enough, more than enough. I'm already loved, I'm already chosen. I know who I am, I know what you've spoken. I'm already loved, more than I could imagine. More than you ask, think, or imagine. According to his power working in us, it's more than enough. More than you ask, think, or imagine. According to his power working in us, it's more than enough. It's more than enough. It's more than enough. You are enough. Jireh, you are enough. And I will be content in every circumstance. Jireh, you are enough. Jireh, you are enough.
Thank you, Lord, for being more than enough, more than we could ever ask, think, or imagine. Lord, that's the kind of faithfulness that we need. That's the kind of hope that we need. So today, we're going to remember you. Today, we're going to remember who you are. Today, we're going to look and see the great faithfulness of a great God. And today, we're going to count our blessings. Today, we're going to look to you for hope. We love you, Lord. When upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one. And it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. Are you ever burdened with a load of care? Does the cross seem heavy you are called to bear? Count your many blessings, every doubt will fly, and you will be singing as the days go by. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. When you look at others with their lands and gold, think that Christ has promised you his wealth untold. Count your many blessings, money cannot buy your reward in heaven or your home. Let's do the next verse. So amid the conflict, whether great or small, do not be discouraged, God is over all. Count your many blessings, angels will attend, help and comfort give you to your journey's end. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Name them one by one.
Count your many blessings, see what God hath done.
Years ago at Valley View, we had a resident named Vic Weitzel, who lived to be 106 years old. And then Jesus came and got him one Easter weekend and took him home. But whenever we would get ready to sing this hymn, Count Your Blessings, he would always look at me with all seriousness. And he would say, Pastor, the author of that hymn got it wrong. It's not one by one. It's ton by ton. So whenever I sing that hymn, I think of Vic. And I can't help but singing, so count your many blessings, name them ton by ton, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. That's incredible, isn't it? What a great reminder that is. Thank you so much, worship team. And Jared, you are absolutely right. God knew this particular morning we needed these particular songs to be able to bring blessing and comfort to our hearts. All right, kids, come on up. We'll get you ready for Children's Church. Oh, terrific. We have a young lady that joined the group today. Come on in here. Yeah, a rose among these thorns. Glad you're here. And by the way, one of these boys is missing. You notice that? He's in Italy. He's on a family trip to Italy. I know, isn't that cool? I know, that's just great. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for reminding us that you are Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. Father, whatever that moment is, Father, whatever that need is, Father, whatever that is that you know that we need, you provide it in the measure that you know that we need it. And Father, we are so grateful for that. Thank you for being Jehovah Jireh. Thank you for reminding us of that this morning. And Father, as we listen to your word, I pray that our hearts and our minds and will be open to what it is that you have in store for us this morning. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, you guys, go and be good. Turn with me, if you will, to Joshua chapter 6. Now, throughout history, there have been some pretty amazing and interesting battle plans. But most strategies are basically the same. Falls into four categories. Outpower the enemy, outsmart the enemy, outflank the enemy, outlast the enemy. If you read anything about wars and battles and things that we've been in through our nation's history, most of those strategies fall into those categories. So this was true for most of the battles throughout history, except for the one that we're going to look at this morning. And this could be called the craziest battle plan ever, because it demonstrates then and now the importance of following God with obedience despite human logic and reason. And so the Israelites had to do various things to follow God's instructions to be ready, get set, and go. I hope this morning you are ready and set to be able to go as deep as God wants us to go into his word. So we're going to look at some of these various things that the Israelites had to do to be ready, to get set, and to go. The first one was to praise God. Hopefully by now you've found chapter 6 in the book of Joshua. Follow along as I read verses 1 through 5. Now Jericho was shut up inside and outside because of the people of Israel. None went out, and none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have given Jericho into your hand with its king and mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city, all the men of war going around the city once. Thus you shall do for 6 days. 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. On the 7th day you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. And then when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, when you hear the sound of the trumpet, then all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people shall go up, everyone straight before him." Now these are the same trumpets they used in worship. the priests blew them at their great feasts and over their sacrifices in the tabernacle. Numbers chapter 10, verses 9 and 10 says, and when you go to war in your land against the adversary who oppresses you, then you shall sound an alarm with the trumpets, that you may be remembered before the Lord your God, and you shall be saved from your enemies. On the day of your gladness also, and at your appointed feast, and at the beginnings of your months, you shall blow the trumpets over your burnt offerings and over the sacrifices of your peace offerings. They shall be a reminder of you before your God. I am the Lord your God. So do you see this morning? The trumpets of war were also the trumpets of worship. I want you to hold on to that fact this morning. When the people shout, the walls of the city will fall. Now, the Hebrew word for shout is the same word used in the context of Israel's worship throughout the Old Testament. Listen to some verses from Israel's hymn book. Listen to some verses from Israel's book of worship. We know it to be the book of Psalms. Psalm 61, 66, verse 1. Shout for joy to God, all the earth. Psalm 81, verse 1. Shout for joy to the God of Jacob. Psalm 95, verse 1. Make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Psalm 95, verse 2. Make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. Now in the Hebrew word for make a joyful noise is the same word translated shout here in Joshua chapter 6. Psalm 98, verse 4. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Psalm 98, verse 6, make a joyful noise before the King, the Lord. Psalm 100, verse 1, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. I'm so glad that God calls us to be able to worship just by making a joyful noise. I'm not a good singer. I think I am, but I know differently because other people look at me and tell me by their looks that I'm not a good singer. But you know one thing? I'm a great joyful noisemaker. And I'm not afraid to be able to sit up here on the front row and make a joyful noise as we're praising God with our voices, as we're praising God with our hearts, as we're praising God in song. Make a joyful noise. Shout for joy to God, all the earth. So when God tells the Israelites to shout outside the walls of Jericho, they would understand this as a shout of praise, a joyful noise before God. Get this. It was their worship, not their weapons, that would bring those walls down. Oh. It was their worship, not their weapons, that would bring those walls down. Their praise is powerful enough to tear down the barriers that would keep them from settling in the promised land. And our praise has the power to do the exact same thing. Worship can bring down the strongholds of the enemy. So when you are discouraged, when you are fearful, when you are doubting, when you are wondering where is God, when you are wondering what in the world is going on, praise the Lord. Don't stay in bed. Pull the covers up over your head. Don't run and find the distractions of the world. Praise the Lord. Shout for joy to God in the face of those strongholds. Make a joyful noise to the Lord and let God remove any barriers that stand in the way. And then in your praise, here's the second thing the Israelites had to do. They had to obey God. In faith, follow his commands. Trust him enough to do what he says, even when it doesn't make sense to you. This is what the Israelites did. Listen to verses 6 and 11. Hopefully you can follow along. So Joshua, the son of Nun, called the priests and said to them, take up the ark of the covenant and let seven priests bear seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord. And he said to the people, go forward, march around the city and let the armed men pass on before the ark of the Lord. And just as Joshua had commanded the people, the seven priests bearing the seven trumpets of ram's horns before the Lord went forward, blowing the trumpets, with the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord following them. The armed men were walking before the priests who were blowing the trumpets, and the rear guard was walking after the Ark, while the trumpets blew continually. But Joshua commanded the people, "You shall not shout or make your voice heard, neither shall any word go out of your mouth until the day I tell you to shout. Then you shall shout." So he caused the Ark of the Lord to circle the city, going about it once. And then they came into the camp and spent the night in the camp. The people of Israel circled Jericho once and then head back to their camp. Now Jericho only covered about 8 or 9 acres. So that would have taken them about 30 minutes to be able to walk around. Then we're going to pick it up in verse 12. Go down to verse 14. Then Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priests took up the Ark of the Lord. And the seven priests bearing the seven trumpets of ram horns before the Ark of the Lord walked on, and they blew the trumpets continually. And the armed men were walking before them, and the rear guard was walking after the Ark of the Lord while the trumpets blew continually. And the second day, they marched around the city and returned into the camp. And so they did for 6 days. The Israelites did just as God commanded them. Now remember, when the spies went across the Jordan River and they stayed with Rahab for a period of time, remember what Rahab told them? "We're afraid of you. We know what your God has done for you. We know how he brought you out across the Red Sea. We know how he's taken care of you for 40 years as you wandered in the wilderness. We know what your God is capable of doing, and we are scared to death of you." Man, what a great opportunity for them to go in. I mean, Jericho was vulnerable in their fear. But God didn't say, "Go and attack." God said, "Go and march." God said, "Go and move." God said, "Go and do this." If you were an Israelite and Joshua comes and says, "Okay, God's going to give us the city of Jericho. But first we've got to march around it one time for 6 straight days. Not say anything. We're going to blow the horn. The priests are going to blow the horns. We're going to carry the Ark of the Covenant around for 6 days. What? They're ripe. They're ready. We can go in. We can take them. But the Israelites did what? They did what God commanded them to do. Can I remind you this morning? God in his word, as us as believers, has given us commands. And he doesn't say bargain. He doesn't say negotiate. He doesn't say pick and choose. He says follow. He says obey. Trust. Obey. Do what it is that I have for you to be able to do. Now, imagine yourself being a citizen of the city of Jericho, watching all of this from behind the safety of the walls of Jericho. And as you observe this, the hair on the back of your neck stands up, and you begin to tremble because you know the Israelites are coming. You've been told the facts of how they wiped out entire nations on the other side of the Jordan River. You also have heard how the Jordan River in its flood stage stopped flowing, allowing the Israelites to cross over on dry ground. And then you wake up one morning to see the Israelites coming your way. And you think, "This is it. We're goners." But to your amazement, all they do is walk around the city and then head back to their camp. For 30 minutes, you experience complete terror, waiting them to strike. But they never do. And the next day, they return. And once again, you experience 30 minutes of terror, but then watch as the Israelites return to their camp. They do this for 3, 4, 5, 6 days. And you begin to think that maybe they're afraid of attacking. Maybe you're safe after all. and maybe your army could win this battle. After all, what's to stop Jericho's soldiers from picking off a few Israelites with a good shot from a bow and arrow? They could do this from the top of the wall, or they could rush out of the city gates to break up Israel's defensive line. It probably appeared that the Israelites were following a crazy battle plan. But all the while, you know what God's doing? He's building their faith. Would they trust God enough to obey him even when it didn't make sense? And the answer is yes. They did obey God. And that's what you and I must do if we want to overcome the spiritual battles in our own lives. With complete trust, do what God tells you to do in his word, even when it doesn't make sense. You know, when God's word says, pray without ceasing, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense, right? Does that mean that we're supposed to walk around with our heads bowed and our eyes closed and our hands folded, and we're supposed to just be praying 24/7? No, that's not what that means. It means we're to be in an attitude of God. When you just take it at face value, it doesn't mean, it doesn't make sense. When God says to you, listen, don't exact revenge on those who injure you. Don't exact revenge on those who hurt you. Don't exact revenge. Revenge is mine, says the Lord. Leave it with me. That doesn't make any sense. Because from a human standpoint, we want to what? Get even. And not only even, we want to do worse to them what it is they did to us. But when God says, I'll take care of it, doesn't make sense. But I'm here to tell you that when you do that, God's going to follow what he said that he was going to do. And it may not be in your way, it may not be in your time, but I'm here to tell you from my own personal experience, it'll be a whole lot better than what it is you ever thought you could do. Because that's the way God works. So we need to obey his word even when it doesn't make sense. Here's the third thing the Israelites had to do. They had to give to God. Give God the first and the best part of what you are and have. That's what God explained to the Israelites that they needed to do. This is what the Israelites did after God gave them the victory in Jericho, the first of many cities that they would conquer. Let's pick it up in verse 15, and we're going to read down through verse 21. On the seventh day, here it comes. On the seventh day, are you ready? On the seventh day, they rose early at the dawn of day and marched around the city in the same manner seven times. It was only on that day that they marched around the city seven times. What does this tell us? They obeyed God. Verse 16. And at the seventh time, when the priest had blown the trumpets, Joshua said to the people, shout, for the Lord has given you the city and all that is within it will be devoted to the Lord for destruction. Only Rahab the prostitute and all who are with her in her house shall live, because she hid the messengers whom we sent. But you keep yourselves from the things devoted to destruction, lest when you have devoted them, you take any of the devoted things and make the camp of Israel a thing for destruction and bring trouble upon it. But all silver and gold and every vessel of bronze and iron are holy to the Lord. They shall go into the treasury of the Lord. So the people shouted and the trumpets were blown. As soon as the people heard the sound of the trumpet, the people shouted a great shout and the walls fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they captured the city. Woo! Praise the Lord. Praise God. The Israelites obeyed God. And what happened? The walls fell down flat. Now, you can do a lot of research as to the fall of this city of Jericho. And there's a whole lot of definitions as to what flat means. There's some that means the walls fell down flat. There's some that say, well, the walls didn't really fall down flat. They just kind of collapsed in and of themselves. There's even one theory out there. Listen to this. There's even one theory out there that when the Israelites shouted, when the trumpets were blowing, that God opened up the earth and the walls fell straight down into the holes that God had made in the earth. My Bible says they fell down flat. Flat means flat, right? I'm going to take God at his word. I don't care about the theories, okay? The falls fell down flat. Now remember that Jericho had two walls surrounding it. The outer wall was 6 feet thick and 20 feet high. The inner wall was 12 feet thick and 30 feet high. And between the walls was a 15-foot wide guarded walkway. And each wall was lined with soldiers, and guards stood at every gate. And when the Israelites obeyed God, God's word says the walls what? Fell down. How? How? Good job. Flat. And they destroyed everything and everyone except Rahab, her family. And those things that could not be destroyed, the silver, the gold, the bronze, and iron, they brought to where? The treasury of the Lord. So the very first city that God gives them, they give back the best to him. They devote everything of value completely to him. They don't wait until they've conquered all the cities in the promised land and then bring God the leftovers. No. They give God the first and best of what he gave them. And that's what you and I must do. We need to give to God the first and best of what he gives to us. This is what worship is all about. An African believer earned money by making and selling a special kind of bean cake. And from those earnings, she consistently gave 10% to the Lord. However, after an accident which severely injured her foot, she couldn't make the bean cakes for a while. By the way, I've been to Africa. I've had bean cakes. They're pretty good. Her income ceased, and it was many long months before she recovered. She eagerly waited for the day she could sell her tasty bean cakes again. And when that day finally came, she promised the missionary that she would give one-third of her earnings to the Lord instead of the 10% she used to give. She said her goal for the first week of business was to make a profit of 3 shillings. That's why the missionary was surprised when the woman returned after only 2 days with 1 shilling as an offering to God. "You surely haven't earned 3 shillings already," he exclaimed. The woman was perplexed by his response. "Do you think I would give my Lord the last of the 3?" she asked. "This is the first one, and it belongs to him. The other 2, I will make for me." That woman, in her worship, gave God the first part of what came her way, trusting God to provide the rest. We need to do the same. Now here at Lake Hazel Bible Church, our financial giving, as we're reminded most every Sunday, is an action of worship, not of expectation, not of obligation, not of coercion, but participation in our worship of God. And we need to bring to God the best of what it is that we have. I want you to think about this in relation to that. Don't give God the end of your life. Give him the time you have now. Don't give God the end of your day. Start your day with him. Don't give God the leftovers of your income. Give God the first part. That is part of what worship is all about. And then I'm here to tell you, when you do that, watch and see what God does. Watch and see what God does. Because of your worship to him. Here's another thing the Israelites had to do. They had to keep their promises to God. Keep your promises. Honor your commitments. This is what the Israelites did when they spared Rahab's life. Going to pick it up in verse 22 and read down through verse 25. "But to the 2 men who had spied out the land, Joshua said, 'Go into the prostitute's house and bring out from there the woman and all who belong to her, as you had swore to her.' So the young men who had been spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and mother and brothers and all who belonged to her. And they brought out all her relatives and put them outside the camp of Israel. And they burned the city with fire and everything in it. Only the silver and gold and the vessels of bronze and of iron they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. But Rahab the prostitute and her father's household and all who belonged to her, Joshua saved alive. And she has lived in Israel to this day, the day of the writing of this book of Joshua, because she hid the messengers whom Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. Wow. Wow. They kept their promises. And they went and they got Rahab and everybody else that was in her apartment, with everybody that was in her house, and they brought her out. And they brought her family out. And they took them to the outside of the camp of Israel because that's the place where they would be kept safe. They kept their promise to Rahab. Because not only did they make a promise to Rahab, they made a promise to God. How many times in your life have you made a promise to God and then broke it? How many times have you made a promise to someone else and then broke it? We need to keep our promises to God. And then look at what else happened. Look at verse 26. And Joshua laid an oath on them at that time, saying, "Cursed before the Lord be the man who rises up and rebuilds this city, Jericho. At the cost of his firstborn shall he lay its foundation, and at the cost of his youngest son shall he set up its gates." The Israelites honored that oath for several hundred years. Then in 870 BC, during the days of wicked King Ahab, Hiel of Bethel built Jericho. He laid its foundation at the cost of Abiram, his firstborn, and set up its gates at the cost of his youngest son, Segub. In arrogance and pride, Hiel broke the oath and paid for it dearly. And this is in sharp contrast to Joshua, who completely obeyed God and kept his promise to God. And because he kept his promise to God, God honored him. Look at verse 27. So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame was in all the land. When Joshua obeyed God, he was exalted before the people. He and the Israelites kept their promises, and that's what you and I must do, because that is a part of what worship is all about. Now, there's a story of a business person who was late for an important meeting and couldn't find a parking space. As he frantically circled the block, the man got so desperate that he decided to pray. Looking up toward heaven, he said, "Lord, take pity on me. If you find me a parking space, I'll go to church every Sunday for the rest of my life. And not only that, I'll give up drinking." Soon a parking space appeared. The guy looked up to heaven again and said, "Never mind, I found one." He had no intention of keeping his promises to God. You see, God is the ultimate promise keeper. And those who keep their promises reflect him. God is the ultimate promise keeper. There came a point in time in Paul Henning's life when he came to believe in Jesus as Savior. And he received from God the gift of eternal life. And he knew that that was a promise that Jesus had made to him. And he lived under the expectation that God was going to keep that promise. And this morning at 4 a.m., Jesus came and got Paul because he's the promise keeper. Jesus said, "I go to prepare a place for you. And when it is finished, I will come and I will receive you to myself, that where I am, there you will also be." Paul knew that Jesus keeps his promises. And that promise became a reality for him today. And someday, If Jesus doesn't come to collect us in the clouds someday, that promise, if you know Jesus as Savior for eternal life, he's going to make good on for you. Do you believe it this morning? Do you live it this morning? Is it a part of who you are? Because it's a part of who you know God to be. You see, God is the ultimate promise keeper. And those who keep their promises reflect him. Keeping your promise, watch this, is also an act of worship. So this morning, what is it that I want you to take away from this? I'm going to give you some things. First, God delivers. God delivers. He brought about his precise plan. Was it the craziest battle plan ever? Probably. Did he bring it about just exactly like he said he would? Yes. The Israelites obeyed. God followed through on his promise. He said, you obey, I'll give you the city. They obeyed. They marched around that city 7 times, blew the trumpets, shouted, and the walls fell down. What, class? Good job. God delivers. God remembers. He remembers his promises. He remembers his promises made to you. Where do we find his promises? In his word. You want to know his promises? Get into his word. You don't care about his promises? I feel sorry for you. Because I love knowing that God is the ultimate promise keeper. He's never made a promise that he's ever broken. Because he can't. It's not in his character. God delivers. God remembers. God is in charge. He is in control. He is ever present. And he can be trusted. So be ready. Get set. And go when God prompts you to do something within his purpose and plan. Because he delivers. He remembers. And he's in charge. Father, thank you for what it is that you have taught us here from Joshua chapter 6. Father, help us to be ready. Help us to get set. And help us to go when you prompt us to do something within your purpose and plan. Because you deliver. You remember. And thankfully, you are the one that's in charge. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
All right, stand with me for this last song, The Goodness of God.
I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. In darkest night, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. I have lived in the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. Yeah. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I'm surrendered now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I'm surrendered now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. Yes, I will sing of the goodness of God.